right. Hey, guys. How's it going? Connor here, and I'm really excited about this call today. I'm here with a bunch of executive coaches. Plus, we got a pretty cool special guest joining us from Las Vegas today. So, real quick, I just want to go around and introduce everybody. My name is Connor, for those of you who haven't met me yet. I'm on the phone with Kevin Sauer, who does a lot of coaching with us in Miami, Florida. What's up, Kevin?
How's it going?
And I've got Adam as well, who most of you have probably spoken to, coming to us from Las Vegas, another executive coach. What's up, Adam?
Hey, guys.
And hey, guys. We have on the line today with us Mr. Race DePriest, also been coaching for a long time, really smart guy, really good friend of ours. And I'm really excited to have him joining us today. He's got a lot to say on the topic that we have. What's up, Race?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Cool. So what I want to talk about today is something that we've been thinking a lot about, and we're trying to add more and more to our curriculum because I think it's really, really important. And that is that, you know, we've been talking a lot about bantering, building attraction, body language, flirting, warming up, bar walk, all attraction material. So if you've gotten good at that, you know, you can walk up to a girl, you've bantered, you've built attraction, and she's smiling at you, she's happy to talk to you, and she's just kind of sitting there waiting to hear, you know, okay, what now? You know, and you might have that moment where you're like, oh, crap, okay, this girl likes me, now what? So what I want to talk today about is carrying a conversation, specifically for when you first meet a girl. And if we have time, I'd like to talk about after that, maybe on your first date, conversations to get into, but we might not have time, in which case we'll probably make that part two in a call maybe a week or 2 weeks from now. But, a lot to talk about here, and that is basically, you know, you bantered, you flirted, you've been playful, and that's great, but that doesn't really make an entire conversation. And if you try and make a conversation out of just banter lines, it's going to sound really weird and kind of not normal. I know Adam told me that some of his previous coaching experiences with other companies that all of his female friends would try and avoid it when they did field nights because the guys didn't understand how to have a real conversation, and it was just banter line, banter line, banter line. And it gets kind of weird after a while. It's not really normal, and, you know, you don't want to be, like, just bantering all the time. It really gives the impression that you're trying too hard and that you're not very well socially calibrated, I guess. And, you know, you walked up to this girl because you're interested in her. You want to learn more about her. And I know a few guys have said to me, you know, God, it feels like when I'm talking to a girl that I'm carrying all the weight, that I'm doing all the talking, like a performing monkey, so to speak. It feels like I'm playing ping pong by myself. That's what a guy told me. And I really felt what that meant because I've been there too, and I think we all have. And that is, you know, you want her to start opening up and carrying her part of the conversation. You don't want to feel like you're just performing or doing all the talking. So, I guess the first thing that I would say on that is to remember to stay present. Be in the moment. Be there with her. Because the first thing that starts happening when you reach this point is you go up into your head and you start thinking of what you should say, and you feel like, I really got to say something good here. I got to really be clever or be smart or be smooth or charming or whatever it is. And all of that's really motivated by you not trusting yourself and being afraid that you'll lose her interest if you don't say something good enough. And, you know, we've all felt like, holy crap, it's game time. I got to spit some game. I got to really keep this girl's interest. If I don't say something good, she's going to walk away. And when you're afraid that that's going to happen, it probably will happen because you're focused on it. So the first tip that I would say that's most important, I think, in terms of holding a conversation and keeping it going is let go of your need to say something perfect and just be present and place your focus entirely on her. It gets you out of your head, it gets you into the moment, and it helps you really listen because I think the biggest part of conversation that most people miss is that you're not just talking, she's talking too, and you need to listen to what she's saying. And if you're up in your head thinking about what you're going to say next, you're not really listening. And the conversation is going to die out pretty fast, which is a shame because most girls love to talk, and if you let them, they'll talk your ear off. I want to just kind of open it up, and I know all of our coaches have a ton of insight on this. They've all been doing this for a long time, and I know Adam, Race, and Kevin are all extremely good at talking to girls and getting them to open up and share more with them. So I guess, Kevin, what do you think about this?
well, I always know what to say.
Oh, that's great advice. Thanks, dude.
No, I mean, I guess the point I was trying to make was like, you know, I thought that I could come in here and just be like, hey, I always know what to say, and then actually have nothing at all to say. You know, it's just I like to break the tension with a little bit of humor, just because we talk about banter, how it shows not neediness, and it makes it easier for you to go into, you know, a regular conversation. Connor, you were saying that not to be in your head and thinking about what to say and just trusting yourself. And so I start off with a little bit of humor, but really, we had a testimonial from one of our students. Either it was from the New York boot camp or Chicago boot camp, but he said something like this, and he was like, you know, I'm so happy that now I don't have to really worry about what to say. And I think that whole shift in your mind, once you realize that, it becomes a lot easier for you. For us, everybody, really. When I first did this stuff, I remember going up to girls and feeling like I just had to feed them all this information and, like, something would hook. Like there were, like, five magic things that I had to say, and, like, one of these things she would really like. And I think coming from that mindset is really going to kill you. You know, just don't take things as serious. Like, be light, playful, funny, entertain yourself. But when it comes to keeping the conversation going, like you said, Connor, it does start with the mindset. And that's like, there's nothing that you need to say to get her hooked to you. Sometimes, and this is just an example, you know, sometimes I can just say hi. You know, and I give her this look that, you know, this kind of like, and I'm sure, like, Race has done things like this before, too. I could imagine him doing things like that. We just give him this, like, funny look with your face, and you're just kind of like, there's something about you. There's something about the situation. I have something to say, but I don't even have to say it, if that makes sense. So, yeah.
Yeah, that totally makes sense, man. I like, that's a great point that you made, because it is about the mindset that you have. Yeah, I think most guys get kind of stressed about what they're going to say. And I love that we got that review, honestly. You don't have to worry about what to say. You just trust yourself that it'll happen. But that can be kind of tough if you don't already know how to do that or what that feels like. So let's get into some specifics here.
Well, real quick, you know, I can honestly say I'm more social now than I've ever been in my entire life. But that does come with experience. It does come with time, I think.
Definitely.
You know, with all the conversations I've had, I can find a way to connect or find a reference point in almost any conversation. And I think, well, I honestly believe that guys that do things like this, and I know for myself personally, that I've experienced a lot more things socially than the majority of people. So I just have a lot more to say. Anyways, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a great point that it comes with experience. But, so we want to start giving some guys some solid specific tips so they can start getting that experience and seeing what it feels like and understanding that it is actually not that difficult, but it takes a little bit of a change in your mindset. So I think one of the first things that really helped me is, you know, when you don't know what to say and you're sitting there talking to a girl, I think what most guys do and what girls are used to hearing is a lot of questions. You know, guys go into interview mode. I think we had a guy on our last program who some girl's really attracted to him. He walked up, he's really bold, he said something super flirty and direct. She's really into it. And then he kind of lost steam and didn't know what to say, started asking her a bunch of questions. And eventually the girl was like, listen, man, I didn't come here to get interrogated. I came here to have fun. And she's, you know, lost interest and walked away. And he was like, shit, I didn't know what to do except ask questions because I'm curious about her. But, yeah, it can really feel like an interrogation if you just ask question after question. Like, so, where are you from? Cool. Do you like it? What are you doing? What do you do here? How was your day? Blah, blah, blah. You're not really contributing a lot. You're just kind of grilling her. So I think a good way to avoid that is to do the opposite, to start making statements instead of just asking questions. The questions are good because you want to find out about her and show interest and be curious, but you want to also space that out with statements. And a great formula that I think to fall back on when you don't know how to carry the conversation is to ask a question, an open-ended question like, oh, cool, where are you from? And she'll say, blah, 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 I'm from Chile or something. And then make a statement about that. Don't just immediately ask another question. Listen, digest what she just gave you, and make a statement. Oh, cool, I've never met anyone from Chile. What are people from Chile like? You seem like blah, 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 blah. And don't just ask questions. Give yourself time to make a statement on it and, show that you're going to open up a little bit. And that encourages her to open up as well. Adam, what do you think about that? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that actually, as you were saying that, made me kind of remember a memory from back when I was trying to learn this stuff. I mean, not that I'm not learning anymore, but when I was trying to figure this stuff out, was I had a girlfriend and I met her friends, and one thing they had said is to her, not to me, but behind my back, they said, "Well, Adam seems really cool. He seems like a great guy, but he just seems like he's trying too hard." And they were right. I was either just bantering constantly, or I was asking question after question, and it just didn't feel like, because people have a certain expectation in their head of what is considered normally acceptable social interaction. And so you want to fall under that in some way, but still be different, if that makes sense. What I mean is that, like what Connor was saying, just asking question after question, usually to keep the conversation going, is a lot different than asking a question and then making a statement and kind of giving your views on it or making a joke about it and then moving on with the conversation. So, yeah, I think it is important to, because you're trying to strike a balance between normal conversation, which most people aren't that great at, and also demonstrating your personality and joking around and having fun and keeping it lighthearted. And it actually, Race, who I'm with here that we talked about, is one of the people I originally, years ago, kind of learned this from. So I'll turn it over to him at this point and get his thoughts also.
Well, hello. Yes, I mean, there is the questions of, who are you, like, where are you from, what do you do? The boring questions that everyone asks because no one else knows what to ask next. And it does. It becomes like an interview. Whereas, asking unique questions or asking a question where you guys can look together towards something, like, have you seen this movie and then talk about the movie, versus it delving deep into, like, her and everything about her, you can switch up the types of questions. And it could be something that you guys, like looking together towards and, like, discussing your thoughts on something. So you can add those in, too, as well. Probably one of my favorite questions when first starting, because, I mean, everyone asks, right when they meet you, pretty much the same, where are you at? Hi, where are you from? What do you do? I like to ask a girl, so what do you do? And it's like she's heard this question so many times, so she goes into her routine, autopilot, this is what I do, blah, blah, blah. And then I'll stop and be like, no, what do you do for fun? And that really, like, breaks her stay where she's at, like, because she thinks you're going to be this boring guy just asking her, hey, what do you do? And it's like, oh, not one of these guys, another one of these guys. And then it switches it around and she starts thinking about it, and then you can find commonalities through that. And then you can tell, like, what you do for fun, like your favorite things, and then it becomes a conversation. So, and you can do that with almost any question.
And also, one thing I'll add to that, you guys, if you look at, because what you guys are going to learn on program, or for those of you guys that have been through, you've seen this, one big thing is, by using normal conversation, how to also at the same time stand out a lot from all of the other guys and all the other conversations that she's having. Because let's face it, attractive women are seasoned veterans at this. They get hit on constantly, very, very frequently. So one thing, just one really subtle thing that with what Ray said, what do you do? And then she starts answering and kind of laughing and saying, no, like, what do you do for fun? Or I've heard him meet girls before and add in silly, what do you do for fun, silly. If you look at the very subtle, like, undertones of that, of what's going on, you're not, first and foremost, you're not accepting what she's saying right away, which most attractive women are used to guys jumping at the chance to approve of what they're saying to accept what they're saying. Oh, yeah, yeah, cool, I'd do that too. Or, oh, yeah, I knew someone did. And they're so, most guys are so eager to approve and accept what she's saying. Versus what Race just said, it's a very subtle yet very powerful distinction, which is he's not accepting her first answer, and he's actually going to have her go back and re-answer it. So it's like, no, wait, hold on. The message he's getting across is, wait, hold on, that's not the question I asked. I actually asked this, now go re-answer it, which is very subtle, and most women wouldn't consciously notice what's going on. But if you look at that, what kind of guys don't jump at the chance to accept her answer and even have her invest more of her time and energy into the conversation? Odds are, the only guys I've seen do that are guys that are very successful with women and that are the women find very attractive. And it's a, like I said, it's a very, very small difference, yet it's very, very powerful. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah, Adam, that's a really good point in Race as well. The fact that you're not seeking her approval, you're doing the reverse. You're giving her your approval, and you're not really doing the same thing as every other guy. I love that, you know, she'll start to answer that question, what do you do, in the same way she always does, and you cut her off, and you're basically saying, no, 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 this is not going to be like every other interaction you've had. Tell me something fun, because that's what we're really talking about. That's what we really want. And I think another really great point that I want to make here and get your guys' take on is that most guys, yeah, they want to, they'll approve of whatever she says because they want her approval, and they think that the way to get approval and the way to get her attracted is to agree with her, to accept everything that she says, which is actually a huge mistake, one that I'm guilty of making all the time, or at least I used to be, and that is that, you know, you don't want to agree with her on everything. It's approval-seeking behavior, and it's very obvious to a girl who talks to a lot of guys that you're seeking her approval and basically puts you in a lower value position when you do that. So, you know, you want to show her your real personality, and you know, you have opinions on what you like and what you don't like and what you're cool with and what you're not, and you don't have to find a whole bunch of commonalities. You know, guys always want to find things that they have in common with a girl, like, oh, cool, you like this, so do I. You're from here, I know all these people from here. They always want to make it about commonalities, but you don't have to do that unless it honestly makes sense. So, yeah, they made a great point that guys will start to agree with her on everything and seek her approval, but I think it's really important to, I think that girls will really notice when you don't do that and you're expressing your real personality. And, you know, if she says something and you don't like it, she says, oh, yeah, I went to this concert last night. Most guys would be like, oh, yeah, cool, I like that band, they're great. But, you know, if you don't honestly like that band, you could just make fun of her about it instead and say, oh, man, you went to that? You like that crap? Holy crap, you know?
You're a Justin Bieber fan?
Yeah, like, oh, man, I like Justin Bieber too. And what you're really saying is, oh, please like me. And you don't have to do that. It's really not a good idea. Kevin, what do you think about that? I know you're awesome at teasing girls, and you're really good at not just taking that bait and saying what they want to hear. You know, you say what you want.
Right. Yeah, it's important to have your own opinions, definitely. Like you guys were, or like Race was saying, how you could bring up something that can really bring you guys together. So, for instance, you know, if I like a certain series of films or TV shows, you know, and that's just my thing. And I'm actually really excited about it. I'm like, oh, my gosh, you know, I'm watching this show and this happens here and you wouldn't believe it. And, you know, I've never watched a show before. My mouth drops, you know, that's how I know I really like it. And it's like I'm bringing her into my world. I'm actually emoting a bit. And, you know, and it's okay for me to be opinionated. It's okay for her to be opinionated, too. Yeah, I believe you don't have to agree with her on everything, you know, but it's also a balance, too. You still need to find something that you can find a common ground, not a common ground, but understanding. Like, okay, yeah, you like Justin Bieber. I don't like Justin Bieber, but at least I can understand that you do, you know. And, you know, I think that keeps conversation flowing, you know, that, you know, there's also that idea that improv teaches, the idea of not having to negate things, you know, they can really stop a conversation in its tracks, you know. If all of a sudden I was like, hey, you know, I went, you know, I was listening to the song the other day, and you're like, oh man, that band sucks. You know, it's like, okay. It's like, all right, so you have anything else to say? You know, so, you know, it's just striking up that balance. Like, how can you keep the conversation going by still showing your opinion and not having to latch on to everything she says? Because at that point, you're just grasping for straws and trying to make something rather than having it flow naturally. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a really good point, Kevin. You don't want to negate things, but you don't want to just agree with everything. What do you think is a good way around that? Because you don't want to be negating and saying, no, that sucks, but you don't want to disagree with, you want to have a backbone. You don't want to agree with everything she says just to agree.
Right. I mean, what I mean is, like, you could disagree with what she has to say, but it has to keep the conversation going. So it's like, oh, man, there was an example today. Somebody had said something to me, a guy behind the counter at the gas station. You know, I got some popcorn and some Coca-Cola. And he was just like, oh, so you're having a movie night tonight, you know? And it was like the daytime. And I don't want to be like, no, I'm not having a movie night. I want to eat my popcorn in my car. But instead I was like, all right, like, let me just vibe off of him for a second. So I was like, yeah, man, but more like a movie day, you know? It's like, and then we started talking about movies. It's funny. It's just another topic. And I guess we'll give him some topics later on. But it's just a topic that I like to go over. He's like, oh, man, you got to see Taken 2. Liam Neeson and The Grey. The Grey was like, I'm here talking to this guy, and there's people in line behind me, but it's like, we kept the conversation going. So that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want anybody to have to agree with something just to keep the conversation going, but, you know, understand that if you can find a common ground between somebody in some light, you know, there's always a connection. We're all pretty much saying we just don't see it. That's just how.
Yeah, and you just kept talking until you decided to talk about something you both liked, which is whatever that movie was. And you didn't agree with him, but you still kept the conversation going by continuing on the topic until you found something.
Yeah, it was just taking it lightly. But yeah, girls do definitely respect a guy with his own opinion that likes his own things. You know, there's a lot of power in that. So. Definitely.
Cool,
Connor, Kevin, that's awesome. Another fun way that even if you do agree with her is you can start by not agreeing. Like, for example, if she did say, since we're on the Justin Bieber kick, and it's like, you're being like, really? You like Justin Bieber? And give her a weird look and be like, you know what they say about Justin Bieber fans? And then just go into anything and then go, just kidding, I think he's awesome too. I really... I've been to like 5 of his concerts. Like, if it's something you really like if some girl would tell me she loves cheese, I'd be like, really? You are really weird. Cheese is so gross. And then go into something funny about her, and then go, just kidding. And when she's getting really excited, like, heat it up a little bit, then be like, just kidding, I actually love it. We should go on a cheese date.
That's cool.
And so
you can
agree with them, but you can make fun of them first, and then you fall in the category with them.
It's funny.
I like that.
Like, oh, let's go on a cheese date. It's so funny when you push someone away like that, and they're starting, just when they're starting to feel ostracized or kind of turning down. And then when you say, oh, actually, I'm the same way, and it's a joke, and then say, let's go on a cheese date, like, she's going to come back. Yeah, she's going to come back so much closer and feel so much more. Like, she's going to be happy. It's going to be not only a release, but she's going to actually feel closer to you because, oh, shit, I thought this guy was pushing me away, and actually, he's just like me. This is awesome. So
it's a great way to create some playful tension in a conversation, which I think is really important. You know, when you're just agreeing with everything that she says, there's no real tension there. There's no mystery. There's no, I think, you know, one of the things that keeps the conversation going is a little bit of that tension and playfulness where she's not really sure yet what you think or if you like her. And that's what gets her to invest more and talk more and try and win you over. We talked about making statements. We talked about giving opinions, not agreeing with everything she says, keeping it going in a playful way. I think, in terms of building that tension, especially, you know, sexual tension, it's actually kind of counterintuitive, but what I've learned is that if you want to keep the conversation going and you want her to carry more of her weight of it, and you feel like you're doing all the talking, sometimes you just don't say anything and see what happens. And I was actually really afraid to do this at first. We call it the vacuum, where basically, you know, you hit, everybody's really afraid of moments of silence in a conversation, you know. Everyone's like, oh, God, silence. I got to say something to fill that space. And it takes a little bit of balls and confidence to kind of sit in that empty space and not say anything when it happens. But I found that it actually makes a girl contribute more. It makes anyone contribute more to a conversation because people hate awkward silences. And if you don't have anything to say and you just smile and nod and pause for a second, 9 times out of 10, you'll find that the person you're talking to will start talking to fill that space, and you're basically putting pressure on them to contribute more and invest more in the conversation. So a lot of times, what we'll do is just give them the vacuum and just smile and nod and wait for them to say something, and they'll feel that pressure and they'll start to contribute, and it creates a nice little moment of tension where they're like, you know, you might be in your head thinking, shit, I better say something or I'm going to lose this person. But understand that they're probably doing the same thing. They're in their head thinking, shit, I got to say something. So if you just relax for a second and let them fill the space, it encourages them to talk more and contribute more. And all of a sudden you've got a lively conversation where she's talking a lot, just giving you a lot to go off of. And you just need to sit there and listen and pay attention to what she's talking about. And you can let that conversation go whichever way it's going to go. I think another good point to make on that, too, that I want to get your guys' take on is that, you know, as a girl's talking to you, she's giving you pretty much everything you need to have a conversation with her, and you just need to listen and pay attention. As I said in the beginning, one of the most important parts of having a conversation is listening, and you want to come at this with a sense of genuine curiosity. You know, you want to be really interested. I think one of the best quotes that I've ever heard, and I don't know who said this. You guys know, let me know. But it just said, be interesting and interested. So basically what you're saying is interesting and you're keeping it going and talking about yourself enough, but you're interested in her, who she is, what she's passionate about, who she is as a person, what she does for fun, like Ray said, and what are her values are, who is she as a person. And you're really curious to find out, and you're not just liking her right away, you're withholding judgment until you find out more about her. And I know, Adam, you're great. I just want to talk to you. I don't know how you, like, I see you talk to girls, but just from talking to you, you have a great sense of just honest, genuine curiosity about people and finding out more about them, and you're definitely one of the best listeners that I know. You agree with that?
I'm listening. That is good. Yeah, you know, honestly, I tell guys a lot, like, my default when I'm not sure what to do, because let's face it, there's millions and millions of different situations that we find ourselves in with women, and a lot of them we haven't experienced before. And my default when I'm not really sure what to do, or if I am telling a guy what, what might work in a moment with a girl that he's talking to, is one, being very upfront with what I want as a man, and two, is, yeah, just taking a genuine curiosity in the people that I'm around and the women that I'm around. One thing that I'll say that I say pretty much every first date, actually, really honestly, every first time I meet a girl or on first date is after a little conversation, I'll say, wow, you know, you seem really fun, or you seem really awesome, or you seem whatever. I'm curious, because you're really attractive, and you're also really clever and fun. Like, that's an awesome combination. How did you get like that? You know, did you grow up with brothers? Did you, and then asking some kind of question to take the emphasis off of the compliment I just gave. But really, if you look at where that's coming from in the first place, it's just I look for things that I like about women. And when you look, you usually find them. And when you find them, it comes from having that genuine curiosity about people and wanting to find out what is cool, which is, if you think about it, it's such a different view and perspective and intent than most other guys. I mean, if you guys, one exercise I'd encourage you to do is go to a busy bar or somewhere the guys are meeting women and just listen to the way guys approach women and hit on them. And it's just all about focused on, if I say the right thing, she'll like me. If I avoid awkward silences for 5 or 10 minutes, then I've earned the right to ask for her phone number. And really taking a genuine curiosity and what makes someone awesome is such a breath of fresh air, not only to women that you meet, but to people in general, because everyone ultimately wants to feel validated. They want to feel appreciated, not just for anything, but for who they really are as a person, what makes them unique. And I will turn it over to Race also at this point, because this is something that I originally, years ago, that we spent a lot of time talking and I learned about from him. Race, do you have any other perspective on that?
I absolutely do. The reason why most guys ask the normal questions like, where are you from, what do you do, is because those are the standard questions that they're used to asking. But honestly, and every client I work with, I'm like, so what do you say to her? Like, I usually ask her where she's from, what she does, and I'm like, do you care about that right now? Like, when you're first meeting her, does that make any difference? They're like, no. I was like, oh, what do you really want to know about this person? Well, I mean, how are you going to find out about someone and be curious about them if you're asking them stuff that doesn't even matter to what you want to know? And so that's usually a big breakthrough for a lot of guys, that they can be like, oh, well, I can move outside of that standard linear process of meeting a girl and actually take a step back and go like, all right, I might like this girl. What would I really want to know about a girl in order to see if we'd be a good match and have a lot of fun together? And then it dramatically changes the conversation, the types of questions that are asked, and how the interaction goes. And on top of that, what was I going to say? I had something funny, but when it comes to questions, there's ways of asking them that, I mean, really, you got to, for example, when we're talking about the silence part, I know you're talking about the vacuum. I want to bring back that a little bit because it's scary. You're right, Connor. It takes balls when you're first doing it because you're like, oh, shit, she's waiting on me. And you're right. She's also probably thinking, oh, shit, he's waiting on me. And, I mean, there's some funny ways to – you can also just draw attention to it and be like, wow, it really got awkward. I was under the impression you were going to bring a list of questions to ask me so you could find out how awesome I am. So I don't know what we should do right now. And just kind of put it back on her as if she should be asking you questions is a fun way to do it, by giving her that quizzical look and like, come on, what do you have to say next? Like, you put it back on her, like she's the one that should be asking the next question. So that's always fun too. And, you know, these are just little tips that you can use whenever that happens.
It's so funny. I've actually had girls on either when first meeting them or on a first date, like as we're getting to know each other, actually apologize for because Race and I used to live together, so this is something I heard from him before and started using it. And I've had girls actually jump in and be like, I'm sorry. Well, what do you, and so it's so funny because it's incredible. Yeah, it's really, really funny. A great way to just make, that's kind of, you guys can make that your default actually, what Ray said or something similar is, when you run out of things to say, because it'll probably happen at some point, especially as you're learning this and improving and, you know, learning a new skill, it'll probably happen. So one other thing you guys can do is write down something like that and just have that in your back pocket where when something runs, when the conversation's running out, you can be like, wow, so you're doing a great job of pushing the conversation forward, or whatever, you know, it doesn't really matter. But having something like that ready will make you feel a little more comfortable because you know that if the conversation does kind of run into a silence, that it's okay because you have something to say, which will make you feel more comfortable before that point.
That's a great point, Adam. I really like that. And Race as well, just having something playful in your back pocket. So if you do run out of things to say and you run into that dreaded, awkward silence, it's a great way to just bring back some banter. You know, we've already talked about banter lines and attraction. You know, if you run out of things to say or the conversation stalls, you can influence more banter. I think I haven't done this in a while, but one of the things I really had this in my back pocket for that exact reason, Adam, that I was afraid if I run out of things to say, what am I going to do? My fallback was always to just say in like a really cheesy, over-the-top way, it's obviously a joke, to say, so do you come here often? It's like a cheesy line, like I don't know what to say, but it always makes them laugh. And then once you're laughing again, you can find that playful state and get back to it. But it's kind of like a funny icebreaker. So anything you can think of like that, that just calls attention to it in a funny way, because you know you're both thinking, oh, shit, it's got awkward silence. And if you can just dispel that awkwardness, you know, I think one thing we all fear, especially girls fear, is awkwardness. If you can show them that you can handle that awkwardness in a cool way, it just instantly makes people feel more comfortable talking to you and makes you feel more comfortable.
One thing, Connor, I just want to just add real quick. You said how oftentimes people think it's going to be awkward. One thing I'll never forget, quick story, is I was in New York. Last time I was in New York, walking through, I think, Bryant Park, and there was this really attractive blonde girl on the phone, sitting down, and talking to her friend about a first date she had coming up. And she goes, oh, yeah, I'm going on this first date. You know how first dates are always awkward. And it really stood out to me because, I mean, I haven't been on an awkward first date in a while just because I, you know, put time and energy into thinking about the kind of stuff we're talking about now. But it really stood out to me because she didn't, if you listen to her language, she didn't say first dates can be so awkward or first dates are oftentimes so awkward. The words she used were first dates are always so awkward. And so when you, a lot of the stuff that we're talking about are ways to just have a, keep a conversation going, which makes women feel comfortable and not just keeping it going, but actually keeping her engaged and enjoying it. And when you can provide that to a woman, it's really incredible because most women are used to awkwardness. Like Connor said, I mean, they're used to a certain amount of awkwardness and a certain amount of the conversation being forced. And the kind of stuff we're talking about on this call is really powerful when it starts going well, because when you can make a woman feel comfortable meeting a new fun guy and you take the awkwardness away, it's really incredible because it's so different. It's so much more comfortable, and it makes them actually want to be around that more.
That's a great point, man. And I think what we're trying to say here is that you can take away that awkwardness by, one, just being comfortable with a little bit of silence and not letting it bother you and letting her feel it. Two, by sprinkling in some banter, some funny lines or something that makes you laugh that can break the ice and take it away. And three, just by knowing how to keep it going so that that doesn't happen as much. And if it does happen, it doesn't bother you, just roll over it and keep talking and you'll forget about it, just, you know, 10 seconds later. So I want to talk about a few more things for keeping the conversation going, little techniques. This is actually one that I learned from Kevin, that you should try. So I said before that, you know, one of the best quotes that I found that really helped me is be interesting and interested. And we're talking a lot about being interested in her, being genuinely curious, but about being interesting, being an interesting person. I think one of the best things that Kevin does that I've learned from him is that he speaks from the I perspective. When he's telling a story, when he's talking about things, he doesn't say, you know how it is when you do this or you do that. He talks about himself in the I perspective, and I think that's really important. It shows that, you know, he's going to let his guard down first and open up, and that encourages a girl to do the same thing, and it's a way to lead the conversation. Can you talk a little more about that, Kevin?
Well, the I perspective is a concept that's been around for a really long time. Don't really know where it came from, but the idea is that speaking in the I perspective lets your guard down. You see this because, or I see this because, when I see from the I perspective, I can actually start to imagine myself in that situation in my own mind. At least it makes it easier for me to imagine myself in that situation, so I could describe how it is to be in that situation. So I remember I had a friend of mine that was talking about how much he likes girls that are really good at storytelling. And he said, when a girl tells a really good story to me, she makes me feel like I'm a part of it. So that's kind of like what I try and exude when I'm speaking about something. So, and it's something I'm continuously working on all the time. After going on these trips from New York to Chicago and doing boot camp in Miami, when I talk about this to other people, I try and paint a picture for them, you know, of how it feels. That's a good example. Like in New York, there's not a lot of plants. You can barely see the sky at times. It can be a bit gloomy and tight, and everybody's packed together. But it's packed. It's full of people that completely, in my opinion, at least the places that I've been, that they really don't care what other people think about them. So it's just a bunch of people being themselves. And, you know, it's a scene that I enjoy a lot. You know, so by me telling you that you know, you could imagine me standing out on the street corner, you know, looking up and looking around the sky and, like, and feeling out the people, if that makes sense. So. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, that totally makes sense, man. I always like the way that you tell stories and talk about things because you just, I can tell you're kind of going to a place in your head and really pulling out all these details, and it does make me feel engrossed in the story. It makes, I think it makes a girl feel like it's, she's a part of your story, and ultimately she's going to think about being a part of your life. So I want to move this along real quick. I think we got some great techniques here. We could probably talk about this stuff for hours, and what we're probably going to do is break this into two sections. So the next call will be continuation of this because we have a lot to talk about. And I do want to find some time today to do some questions, take some questions from all the guys on the call. But let's go around real quick and talk about just some great topics of conversation that you can kind of key off of. I think a great topic of conversation when you're talking with a girl is relationships or family. One of the easiest things to talk about is childhood experiences. Girls love to talk about pop culture, love to talk about adventures that you've had, experiences. And I do want to finish by talking about sex, a great topic of conversation. What do you guys think about that? Adam, I'll let you start it off.
Okay.
I'm prepared. Pass it off if you don't want to. But what do you guys think are good topics of conversation?
I think you touched on some good ones. And I'll try to keep this short because I know we're kind of already over time. But speaking of defaults that you can kind of fall back on, one thing I'll ask a girl pretty often is, you said childhood memories, is what kind of, like, odd childhood injuries did she have? Because that usually results in a really cool story. Most people have some kind of weird childhood injury where they're trying to climb out the window on a skateboard in a dress or something ridiculous. And I'll just say, and it's kind of a different question, and it usually doesn't relate to the current conversation, and I'll say, you know, I have to ask you, I'm curious, which makes her lean into what I'm going to say next and be curious what I'm going to say next. There's certain phrases that do that, which is, we can get into another day, but I'll say, I'm curious, I have to ask, did you ever have any, what was the weirdest childhood injury you had? Like, what was just the craziest thing that happened to you? And honestly, every time I ask that, it results in, like, a 20-minute conversation. If she wants to share hers, I want to share about how in sixth grade I was playing basketball and my friend ran into me with his teeth into my head, and I had to get, like, I got a dart thrown in my face. Like, I've never met someone who doesn't have some kind of really interesting childhood injury. The other thing that I go to a lot is I just really like a girl that's really funny or clever or just fun in any kind of way. I really want to figure out how she got like that. You know, what is cool about her? What's unique about her? Like we talked about earlier. So real quick, those are two things that came to my mind. Grace, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if we're talking about being sexual at all, is that what we're doing?
It's topics of conversation that are good to talk about.
Oh, yeah. Topics of conversation. Travel has always been a big one for me. And the cool thing is it doesn't matter if she's traveled or not, or if I have, because if she hasn't, everyone wants to go see things. Like the way that we're set up with the internet, TV, media, movies, like, we're getting glimpses into these awesome places, and everyone has a place that they, like, really want to go and something they want to do. And that always results in some great conversations for me. So it's like, yeah, like, if I want to get into places they have traveled, what was their favorite, why, what about that place drew them to it, which, another thing, the difference between why questions and what questions. For example, what's your favorite band or your favorite artist? Justin Bieber. Once again, you just say why, it's like kind of like now they have to defend why they have a favorite or what that why that's their favorite. It's more like defense. Whereas what about Justin Bieber do you like so much? That can go into a much, it's collaborative, and you get to find out all the reasons that she likes Justin Bieber so much. And it could, who knows how that's going to turn out. But it's a much better way to ask questions without attacking. And to get her to open up and share, reasons why she likes whatever it is she likes.
That's a great point, just getting her to elaborate on what she just said instead of just challenging it by saying why or what's wrong with you. Just say, what do you like about that so much? You know. Kevin, what do you think? What do you like to talk about with girls?
You know, it's funny. I was going to say something similar, right, like with the why questions, but I never even thought about what questions. And so, you know, pretty much he nailed it on that point. Why questions for me is just like, I'll ask her, why are you here in Miami? You know, did you grow up here? You know, are you from here? Or, you know, I mean, she'll usually clarify like that. And there's always some kind of story behind it. I grew up around here, so, you know, we could talk about similar things. Just why questions, and then, like Ray said, the what questions. And then the last point I just wanted to harp on with the guys, and you already said it, Connor, was not interrupting. And so I think the best way, or, you know, listening fully, and that you could definitely do that by not interrupting. If you're trying to keep the conversation going and she's talking, then, you know, that's pretty much where you want to be. So just slow things down. And then, you know, you'll even slow them down to a point where you're doing things like the vacuum. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I think what everybody said was awesome. I think they have more than enough topics.
Cool. Yeah, this is great. This is great. So we got a few more things to talk about, and then we'll wrap this up and take a few questions. Are you guys cool with sticking around for another 20 minutes or so at least?
Yeah, I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done.
All right, cool. Yeah, as we talk about this, I just keep getting more ideas that I know you guys could elaborate on. I think one of the funnest things that I've thought of, you know, when you first start talking to a girl, the typical conversation, like we've been saying, is to ask her questions, like, what do you do, where are you from? And I found that a great way to make that more fun and flip it around in a not a typical way, instead of asking her, just start guessing about her and make assumptions about her. So instead of saying, where are you from, you could look at her and be like, something tells me that you're from Canada, or something like that, and be able to play off of that. Or instead of saying, what do? You talk to her for a while and say, I'm going to guess that you're a teacher. You know, you've just got this sense of authority about you. I can see you, you know, teaching in front of a class and speaking and being comfortable and, you know, slapping people with a ruler or something playful, you know, like that. And that always, you don't have to be right. It's kind of awesome if you are right and people are like, holy shit, how'd you guess that? But it's really just a fun way to find out more about her. And instead of asking what you do, just making it a playful way. And then she'll still tell you what she does, and you can have a more interesting conversation than just asking her. Is making assumptions about people in a playful way that they're offended about. I like to guess where somebody's from and have it be obviously wrong. Like if I'm talking to a girl and she's white, I'll guess that she's from Zimbabwe or something. Like, obviously not from there. It's ways to sprinkle more playfulness into your typical conversation. If you're doing the same thing, you're still finding out about her, but it's in a more fun way, and she's definitely going to remember that a lot more. And I wanted to talk about, I find that playfulness like that can often lead into a bit of role-playing in a conversation, which is another really fun way to continue that flirty nature and vibe without having a typical conversation, and it gives you a lot to work off of. Race, do you have any experience with that kind of thing?
Oh, my God, yeah. That's so funny you brought that up. That's exactly what I was going to say. Guessing a girl's answer is probably one of my favorite things. So I'll ask a question. I'll be like, wait. I got this. And then I'll go into this long, like, tirade of all these things, and then I'll be like, well, then, you know, for example, your teacher one. I usually try and make them really out there.
Okay.
Like, really to the extreme of silliness of what they're, like, possibly do. Like, for example, is what do you do? But if I was, like, do something like a teacher, you know, then you're going to be around kids all the time and slapping the ruler, then, you know, you're going to have a schoolgirl outfit when you come home, and I'm going to fall in love with you. And then you just keep it going to the point where it's like, we get married, we have all these kids and all that stuff. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know about this relationship. And that's how I ended. And it's like, I went through all this stuff that's going to happen. And exactly like you said, role play, and it becomes very, very fun. And it could be any question you ask and get the answer. And I try and make them like really like out there, funny kind of things. And you're exactly right; it turns into a very fun conversation that they remember always. And on top of that,
one thing I do, like, for example, if you run out of things to say at that moment, is challenge a girl to something, especially like bars where they have darts or pool or something you go play, and it takes some of the focus off of the conversation and allows you to challenge and tease her about winning, make bets together. And if you're, even if you're at a place where they don't have anything like that, you can challenge to like fun war or the slapping hands game. And it's a fun way to start it, like to move forward, that taking the focus off the conversation and to be able, like I said, make challenges, make bets. I can't tell you how often. I do this almost every time. Just because I love making bets and getting things out of it. Commitments to move the relationship forward. It's so fun. Like, I've gotten so many first dates, like, paid for doing that. If I win, you're taking me out for, I don't know, like, cheese tasting. You know, I keep bringing back cheese. I like, love cheese. And I just bought 2 new types of cheese today, so I'm pretty excited.
That's cool. Yeah, I actually think we should have another call and just talk about different kinds of attractive games that we play. They're really fun. But that's a great, great addition there. And I wanted to finish off. I know you guys had a few things you wanted to say about, you can take this role-playing, you can take this playful nature. And what are some good ways that you've found of bringing up sex in a conversation in a cool way that's not weird?
I assume a lot of familiarity. I think that's just like a habit of mine. So like, and you'll see this, like we're talking about keeping conversation going and then, you know, taking it sexual. I think one of the toughest times for me personally to ever keep a conversation going is on the phone, because you don't have any body language to really draw her in. And you're not really like, you know, taking any other kind of information. You could be I could be talking to you guys right now and I have no idea if you're listening. But I just trust it, right? So anyways, the point I'm trying to make is like, I call a girl and I'll be like, I'll start my sentence in the middle of a conversation and just assume like she is already part of my life. And I'll do this when I approach girls, you know, the same thing. Oh my gosh, today I was driving down here and it was just pouring rain and I couldn't believe it, you know? So it's like, assuming that kind of familiarity, you know, she takes on that frame. I think you could do the same thing when it comes to being sexual. you guys help me out. There's a bit of a balance. It's like, I think I used to talk about sex way too much, and I took it to a point where it got to be too much, and it was like I was just busting off jokes, bam, bam, bam. I think that as long as you're funny, you could get away with saying a lot of sexual things. If you're not funny, people will take it as like, oh, okay, it's kind of weird. I think under the guise of comedy, I've gotten away with saying a lot of things that most people can't say.
Cool. Yeah, that's a good point. What are some ways you guys can bring up sex in a playful way?
I was gonna say, and Kevin, that's why you have a restraining order.
So one of my favorite ways, well, other than sexual innuendos, which we can get into in a minute, is sexual misdirection. Pretty much you describe something that sounds sexual, very sexual, and then you use misdirection at the last second to make it funny. Actually, my favorite example that I bring to mind recently is one that Adam actually came up with when we were talking about this. And I'll just read it to you. He said, it's like you're talking to a girl, they're either at the restaurant or at a bar and there's a table or whatever. He says, I really want to pin you down on your back right now on this table and do all sorts of terrible things. Like only give the waiter a 10% tip. Or he said, like another one's like, you know, it's hilarious, dude. And it's like another one I often do is like, we should go dance in the rain. Then I can push you up against a light pole and slowly slide my hands up your shirt. That way I can get a better grip to throw you in a puddle. And it's like, you think it's one way. The beauty of it is, no matter how it ends, when you're saying it and you want to slow down and drop your voice a little bit and, like, really get her to start thinking about it, like, she'll hear you and be like, you're so stupid, whatever, and silly, and laugh. But she thought about you guys doing that together while you were describing it. So you get away scot-free with her already implanting sexual thoughts about you in her mind. It's awesome.
that's a great, great way to do it. I love that. I'm definitely going to try that. Just like taking it there, being really sexual, and then at the last minute changing directions and kind of jerking her out of that.
Yeah, and you can even joke with her and be like, wow, you have a really dirty mind.
Yeah, that's something that I do a lot, is to just anything that I'm thinking about doing to her, I just say that she's thinking about doing it to me. Like, stop undressing me with your eyes. Stop thinking about doing me later. Stop thinking about taking me home. I'm not going to go home with you. Stop hitting on me. Just accusing her of all these things that you're already thinking. And it's kind of a really playful way to get her thinking about it. Cool. This has been awesome, guys. I want to wrap this up real quick with an assignment for all the guys on the call. And whoever missed it, I'm going to email this out and make sure you guys do this. But I want you guys to take everything that you've learned today and go approach a girl this weekend. By the time we have our next call, which will probably be next week and around the same time, approach a girl and find out three unique things about her. Make that your goal. Nothing else, but just find out three unique things about her. And this is different than what we talked about with qualifying, which is where you'd say something like, oh, tell me three awesome things about you, and accepting that. This is a little bit different. This is about being genuinely curious and getting her to open up about her life and carry a real conversation. And just to review what we just talked about, because it's a lot, you know, you've bantered, you've got her attracted, she's there, and she's in you. So next, you want to be in the moment, focus only on her. You want to find out about her and be genuinely curious. You can ask a question, then make a statement on it, what you really think about it, then ask another question, continue on. Some great ways to preface a question. So I have to ask you, or I'm curious about this, or you're really cool, spontaneous, awesome, whatever. How did you get like that? A great way to get her elaborating on her answer to that question. What about that do you like so much? Why are you here in Miami? Why are you doing this? What about that makes you feel a certain way? Really important that you don't want to agree with everything she says, just to agree. And if you disagree, you can disagree in a simple way that continues the conversation instead of negating it. You want to speak from the I perspective, which is a great way to make her feel like she's a part of your story and what you're talking about. And I think this is really important. If the conversation stalls and you've run out of things to say, sprinkle in some banter, be playful about it, make a joke, or just sit there in the silence and smile and nod and wait for her to pick up the slack. And I think you'll find that most of the time she will. And you'll get her really investing more, and it'll stop feeling like you just have to carry everything on your own and you're carrying the team, so to speak, and that she'll open up to you. So, yeah, I want you guys to do that and really listen. Come back with at least three things that you found out about a girl, and obviously take it more if you want, but make that your mission when you approach the girl, to find out three unique things about her. Be genuinely curious. So we still have a bunch of people left on the call. If you guys are cool with sticking around and take questions, if we have anyone that's got questions, you can press star 2 and it'll show up as you have a question. You can unmute you. If you're on the web right now, you can type it into the little chat box and it'll show up on my screen. I know we've had probably a few guys that had to bail on this call because it's ran a little long. We have less callers here than what we started with, but anybody have questions, just hit star 2 and it'll show up.
Hey guys, real quick, I love, for any of you guys that have been on a program with me, I love competition and getting you guys motivated. Let's say for the person, two people, whoever gets, finds out the most interesting things, like Connor said, about the most women, will get something, and then also whoever gets the most interesting thing, like the most odd or weird or cool thing, so those two people will win an undisclosed prize next weekend, and I swear it'll be as awesome as a date with Kevin Fallis.
Oh, yeah. We'll go out dancing. I'll get you wine.
You guys are silly.
Cool. So hold on. We got one question here. Hold on. Cool. We got a few questions. All right. Let's take these one at a time. Martin Joseph, or am I saying that? We got a caller from Boca Raton, Florida. What's up, man?
Hey, it's John from Chicago. That coaching.
Oh,
weekend.
Hey, John. Oh, cool.
Hey,
cool.
Yeah,
what's going on, man?
That's my parents' number. They still have me on it.
Cool. What's up, man?
What happened? What if say you're trying to, you're getting into conversation, and then you really don't know how to escalate it into sexual conversation. And that's one of my problems, since I'm not really, I don't really have that much notches under my belt. How do I, you know, lead it into that mindset?
Okay. Adam and Ray, do you want to take that one?
John, can you say that one more time? I'm not sure if I completely understand the question.
How do I lead the conversation more into sex?
Okay. The one thing I'd say, and I want to hear Ray's thoughts also, the easiest way, the lowest risk way, especially if you don't have a lot of experience with that, is through using sexual innuendos and also misinterpretation. So I'm trying to think of a thought. You have any examples off the top of your head?
Yeah, for example, like when a girl tells me like a time that she gets off, I go, oh, yeah, I'd love getting off. And then I go, oh, work. What were you thinking? Jeez. It kind of pushes it back. Or just looking, like once you start thinking about conversation, like you think about the world in a sexual way, you'll start noticing words that can be misinterpreted and be used as like sexual innuendos. Like, I don't know, another example, like if for example, you put her to a challenge, I'd be like, I will spank you at this game. And she starts thinking about, obviously, something else. Or, like, for example, bowling. I'd be like, so you're really good with balls and pins? I'll just draw you. And it's like finding ways, and when people say things that could be misinterpreted in a sexual way, throwing it out there, but then being able to back off so there's no risk to you. Like Adam was saying, it's very low risk, misdirection. So it's like, whoa, that wasn't me. What were you thinking? I was just, you know, having a conversation.
Yeah, that's the one of the best parts about it, is that if you get a girl who's just uptight or thinks it's inappropriate or just is giving you shit, just, you know, as fun for fun, you can always put it back on her. Like, oh, wait, what are you talking about? You're the one with the dirty mind. I thought, actually, last night, Race and I were at a friend's place, and there's a decent amount of girls over, and I was talking to this girl who's in college. I can't remember what she's studying, and she said something about, she's talking about a test, and she's like, yeah, it's just so hard. And I was like, wait, you have x-ray vision? Because are you looking through the table right now? Or you know, another response could be, oh, so you like hard things. Okay, oh, interesting. I'm learning something about you every day. Or whatever the case may be, you can misinterpret it. And then usually they'll just laugh and hit you, whatever. And it's a great way to start getting sexual. And the cool thing is that if she picks up on it, awesome. You've really made it easier getting into a sexual conversation. If she doesn't, which sometimes girls won't, there's times I say things that I think are so sexually clever and they just don't get, but it's no harm, no foul. Because they're like, let's say with a girl's test, like they said, oh, so you like really hard things. She goes, yeah, I mean, well, not in biology because, you know, I only have a C+. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny, and you'll try not to laugh out loud, but just to yourself when that happens. But it's a great way with very little risk to start seeing how she responds to sexual comments. And two, to start inserting sexual comments into your
conversation. Do you like inserting things?
I love inserting comments. Oh, you know what? I'll just to give you guys more opportunity.
Like
one. Oh, Connor, can I throw in one more how-to?
Yes, please do.
Okay, one thing I said to a girl a couple weeks ago, it's become kind of a running joke out here in Vegas. It was, we're talking, I said, I want to insert parts of myself inside you. And then it was funny because she goes, she looks at me, she nods, and she goes, okay. And then where I was going with it was, I want to insert my words into your mind. And it was just really funny because I didn't think, because we ended up having sex that night, I didn't expect to have sex with her for reasons that are a long story. But it's funny because I was using a sexual innuendo and making a joke, and she was basically like, okay, I'll have sex. That's basically what she was saying. And it's awesome because if she hadn't had that reaction, if she'd been like, oh, it's gross, I'd be like, I meant my words into your mind. Like, it's just a really great way to see where she's at risk-free. It's a really, really great way to start inserting that into your conversation. John, does that make sense?
Yeah, so basically act like I'm 12, more or less.
Yeah. Totally. I'm going to write some of these down and put them in an email so you guys can, like, try them, because this is great, great stuff. Kevin, I know, is the king of sexual innuendo from what I've...
No, man.
From knowing him.
Almost,
put so much pressure on me, dude.
I'm just kidding. I just you said a few things that I actually wrote down from one of our programs where you're like
you put
a party and you're going back inside your house and you're like, okay, I'm coming inside. Nixon said something really good. He said he told some girl that he would cuddle the fuck out of her. I thought that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like to say, oh, I'm feeling really happy inside myself, or like, you know, we're just trying to figure this out, you know, or like, I mean, dude,
yeah, but what did you say? What did you say? I couldn't hear you.
I couldn't hear you. Know?
Can I just say I would not use the C word with girls, and we don't recommend that. That's a very hated word among females.
I mean, it's kind of like you're just kind of playing dumb. Like, at least, hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, okay, it's just kind of like I'm playing dumb, and I just mispronouncing things or, you know, describing things in a sexual way. I had so many, yeah, just using the word inside. Oh, there's, you know, there's keywords, you know, deep, inside, penetrating, all over, pouring, dripping, wet, you know, squeezing, or, you know, if you put emphasis on these words, and especially if she starts to actually use those same words back when she's talking to you, it doesn't happen all the time, but if it does, it's like a clear indicator that she's like very comfortable being sexual.
Yeah, and John, I just want to make a quick point here that you don't have to do all this to escalate sexually with a girl. It's just a playful kind of way to bring it into the conversation and get her thinking about it, which can definitely help you down the road to help her get into a seductive mood. But you don't always have to, because a lot of the sexual tension, like we talked about on the program, is going to come from how you're touching her and how you're looking at her and how you're speaking to her. And a lot of that can be subcommunicated too. It doesn't have to be verbal like this, but these are great ways to get it out there in a safe and playful way that's definitely going to turn a girl on if you do it right. Does that make sense, buddy?
Yeah. I was wondering when would be, is it along the conversation or is there a certain point in the interaction in which to start doing this?
I would say is, anytime you want, really. It's just like banter lines. You can kind of sprinkle them in there. And like Adam was saying, it's very safe, and you can kind of test out where she is. You know, you'll say it and then see how she reacts. And if she's into it and plays along, that's good. If she's not so into it, go back to what you were doing and bring it up later.
Okay.
But, yeah, you can definitely bring these up whenever you want, man. And it'd be great if you could try this out when you're hanging out with that girl you're telling me about and see how it goes.
Yeah, hopefully that could happen again.
Cool, man. I got your email, so I'm going to be replying to that a little bit later. But, yeah, we got one more question. Let's take this question. We got somebody calling in from Twin Cities, Minnesota. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. Hey, my name is Steven. I'm actually in Florida here, but
I have a question.
When I approach a girl, and after what I think I've bantered, I have, like, a real problem, like, having them, like, reciprocate, you know, like, having, you know, talking about their share of the conversation, if you will. And
totally.
I think I did have, like, a realization on the phone call that I don't think I'm actually, like, fulfilling attraction. Like, I haven't, like, qualified and then gotten into rapport.
Okay.
Because I just, like, I just bantered, like, a little bit. Like, for instance, I was talking to this one girl about how she was, like, just came back from Miami, and then she also went to Las Vegas and, like you know, talking about, like, partying and whatnot or, like, drinking. And then, like, I tried to continue it on, and she just, like, faded off. And I just don't think, like, I don't know what I did there, but more of a statement than anything.
Okay, well, yeah, usually when you've got a conversation that it just kind of fades out on you, yeah, you might not have had enough attraction. Like we talked about on earlier calls, you know, you build attraction, you show non-neediness and all the banter and body language that we talked about, and you qualify, it kind of solidifies all of that and gets her hooked. You know, we're talking about carrying a conversation after you've got a girl's attention and she's hooked and she's into you and she's going to stand there and talk to you for a while. She's interested. So, yeah, I mean, that's a great realization that if you haven't gotten to that point yet, a lot of these conversation techniques aren't going to work as well because you don't have her full attention yet. You don't have her full interest. But that's okay, man. You just keep working on that. Work on the banter. Work on the body language. I honestly found that negative body language solves a lot of that because it just shows her, wow, this guy's pretty cool, but I might lose him at any second. I better step up and talk to him more. And like we talked about, qualifying definitely solidifies all that and shows her you're interested for a valid reason and that you know, she should continue talking to you and that she's earned your attention. Does that all make sense? It sounds like you kind of answered your own question there, right?
Right, exactly. But one thing, though, you made a good point about the negative body language. I think I'm a little confused on exactly what that is. So, like, negative body language would be like, okay, let's say, you know, I'm talking with this girl. So I would literally have, like, we would be, like, perpendicular, like, as far as, like, our feet and everything like that. And then, like, my face, like, my actual, like, face would turn towards her when I was speaking to her. And then every once in a while, my chest type thing. Is that, that's kind of how I understand it, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Or is that completely wrong?
Yeah. Kevin, you want to take this real quick? You have a really good way of explaining this.
I guess a quick explanation is just that it's just turning your back on somebody, really, is all it is. It's like, if you're talking to I like to give this example because I experienced this. I was talking to this girl, and she did it to me. She gave me what we call negative body language. I was talking to her. I said something that I thought was funny. She treated it like it was an awkward, corny joke, and she turned her back towards me. But I just, like, I knew she was attracted to me. Like, we've already been flirting and everything has been cool up to this point, and it's just her way of reacting to things, right? So my natural reaction was to actually chase her. Like, my natural reaction was to go after her and be like, well, but I just stopped for a second because I understand that when somebody turns their back to you, it's just a natural reaction for you to want to chase and get that attention back. So that's ultimately what we're doing. If you turn your back to a girl, it will cause her to chase. Of course, it's not just enough to show disinterest. You actually have to get involved. I mean, that's what we're showing. Negative body language shows disinterest. So, you know, you talk to her, and you guys are having a good conversation. Everything's fine. But if she just says something that, you know, either she only gives you one-word answer, or she doesn't add enough to the conversation, turn your back on her and see what happens. You know, it really relieves the tension, and it doesn't make it seem like you're chasing anymore. It can ultimately make it seem like she's chasing you. So, yeah.
Cool. That's awesome. Does that make sense, dude?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, basically what we're talking about with negative body language is that you're not giving her your full attention until you have a real reason to, and you have a real reason to commit to the interaction, which shows non-neediness. And non-neediness means you're attracted of all the reasons that we talked about. But basically, if you want, like, a real quick way to do it, I know we're going to meet on what program are you coming to, by the way?
The one in Tampa.
Okay, cool. So we'll meet you then, and you'll see, like, a real, honest demonstration.
It's hard to explain over the phone.
Yeah, it can be tough to explain body language in words until you see it. But basically, like Kevin said, don't be afraid to turn your back on a girl. And anytime you feel like you're starting to lose her attention, don't chase her harder. Just turn around. So whatever she's doing with her body during attraction, like right when you just start talking, you just do it. You do the same thing. Just match it, you know? Yeah.
Mirroring.
She fully faces you and is into you, you fully face her and get into her. If she's starting to turn away, if her attention's wandering, so is yours. And play around with that. We have a lot more material on that we can talk about that's kind of outside the scope of this call. But for now, I think that'll really help you out a lot. Don't be afraid to turn your back if you feel like you're losing her attention.
Yeah, makes
sense. One thing I'll add real quick, guys, in terms of negative body language, because some guys, I see that, like, if a girl's really into them and then they're like, oh, let me just turn away. Like, it's a way to do, the way I use it is two things. One, if she's not really reciprocating my interest or where I'm at, I'll kind of just mirror her body language, kind of face my shoulders or my hips away from her a little bit, you know, so that I don't feel like, she doesn't feel like I'm still super into her when she's not as into me. Just kind of mirror that. The other is when it's going well or if I'm joking around, I pretend to disagree with something she says. Like, let's say, okay, so I grew up in Nebraska, so college football is big. So if I meet a girl from Oklahoma, this is just a natural reaction to me. If I meet a girl from Oklahoma, I go, oh, my God. I go, I see you later. And I'll just pretend to, like, turn around and cross my arms, and she'll be like, what's going on? I'm like, oh, I'm from Nebraska, which she'll understand because I'm pretending to not like her, which I secretly hate her. But no, just kidding. So it's, like, you want to be – and it'll help you a lot on Program Dude because it's very difficult to understand without seeing it, which is one of the reasons that, you know, the live portion of this whole thing is so important. So you'll get a better feel for, like, when is actually right to use it, because it can be really powerful, or done wrong or at the wrong time, or when she likes you, or whatever the case may be, it can be kind of like, oh, why is this guy pushing away from me when I'm trying to, you know, be close with him and connect with him. So, like Connor said, it's kind of beyond the scope of this call, but you know, we encourage you guys to send in your questions to us throughout the week, and you know, we can form other calls, because this is all based around you guys. You know, we're trying to react to what you guys are trying to learn and trying to progress. So, you know, feel free to send your questions in if it's something that is a little beyond the scope of this call.
Cool. That's an awesome question, though. We'll definitely be talking about that more in the future. Thanks, man. So, yeah, just to wrap things up here, we've got, you know, a mission for you guys. I'll send out an email that kind of breaks down the bullet points of what we just talked about. Everyone can download this call later. But, yeah, go out, meet at least one girl, and find out three interesting things about her. Come back and tell us about it. And, yeah, like Adam said, whoever finds out, one, whoever gets the most facts about a girl, or most girls get something, and whoever finds out the most interesting thing, they're going to get a really cool prize that we're going to tell you about next time. So, yeah, stay tuned. And, yeah, Kevin, Adam, Race, thank you for joining me on this call. It's been awesome. We'll definitely have to do more of these soon.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, guys. And thanks to all the guys that were patient enough to listen to the craziness in our heads.
Definitely. Cool. Thanks, guys. I'm going to sign off now, and we'll talk more in a second.
Awesome.